Elizabeth George joins us by phone tonight. She's the author of the much-loved and best-selling Inspector Linley Mysteries, for which she has won the Anthony Award, the Agatha Award, France's Le Grand Prix de Littérature Policière, and Germany's Mimi Award. Her Inspector Linley novels have been filmed for television by the BBC and broadcast in the U.S. on PBS's Mystery. Tonight, we're going to talk about her latest Inspector Linley novel. It is titled A Banquet of Consequences. I want to welcome you to Around Cincinnati, but also electronically back to Ohio, since I discovered you were born here.
Born in Warren, Ohio.
I am an unabashed fan of Detective Inspector Thomas Linley and Detective Sergeant Barbara Havers of Scotland Yard. If you would, tell us what the crime is that they're confronted with in A Banquet of Consequences.
In this novel, Thomas Linley and Barbara Havers are working on the sudden death of a noted feminist writer in Great Britain. And this writer, Claire Abbott, has just put out a book that is highly controversial, but at the same time, very readable. It's called Looking for Mr. Darcy, The Myth of Happily Ever After. She dies quite suddenly when she's on the road in Cambridge, and Barbara flings herself into this particular situation because she is so anxious to prove herself to Detective Superintendent Artery, because her detective superintendent has created a situation where Barbara has had to fill out transfer papers to the north of England, and that's the only way she's allowed to keep her job rather than being given the sack, kind of a tenuous position.
I'm remembering in a previous novel that you boldly had Inspector Linley's wife murdered. And as I was reading this, I was wondering, when you have reoccurring characters that are much loved by your readers, how much of a fine balance is there between keeping them the same, if you will, and keeping them growing and changing?
The tricky thing is that if you want to sustain a career over a number of years with continuing characters, that you need to, I believe, do things that keep opening up the story. And that's a really critical part of it. Otherwise, as a writer, you find yourself in the position of doing obligatory scenes in which you trot out the same old characters in the same old position, like Nancy Drew and Ned Nickerson, a great example. That Nancy Drew never changes. She hasn't changed in 100 years, more than 100 years now. And Ned Nickerson will never kiss her, and their relationship will always be the same. And for me as a writer, I didn't want to create a circumstance where the characters were always in the exact same position. You want to be able to do things to shake up their story, but without totally destroying the entire series. That was one of the things I realized was in the relationship between Linley and his wife, Helen, that their story was narrowing down because of they were now married and she was pregnant, and something had to occur to open up that story. And the decision I made that what had to occur was to remove Helen, but to remove her in such a way that it was like setting off a bomb in Linley's life. And then if you think about the setting off a bomb, you have now have all these pieces that have to be dealt with.
Yes. You win high praise, and rightfully so, for your characters. And I was really interested to discover on your website Edgar Allan Poe's formula for detective fiction, which I'd like you to tell us about. But you went on to adapt that, create your own variation of it.
Yeah, the modern crime novel has its roots in Edgar Allan Poe's creation of a character called Auguste Dupin. And what he did, he created a thing called, it's really the detective formula narrator. And so what you have is a eccentric detective and an admiring narrator. And the admiring narrator, usually the one who tells the story. Rex Stout is a good example of that. The character, Nero Wolfe, I think is the name of his character, is quite eccentric. And he doesn't tell the story. He sort of directs some of the action, but there's a narrator who does what he wants him to do. And in my novels, Linley and Havers and the continuing cast of characters, I began with that idea that that was what it was going to be. But I realized that that wasn't actually going to work for me, that I was going to have to adapt at that idea and still have a continuing characters and still having a detective, but do make it much more realistic and to use a different kind of point of view.
One of the qualities that gives your novels depth and breadth is that you focus not just on a crime and the lives of the main characters involved, but a problem or a challenge going on in the society at large. I'm remembering a child of color growing up in poverty and what happens, or the life of immigrants. And I'm curious about the process whereby you choose or integrate a societal problem with the crime. Does one grow out of the other, or is it a chicken or the egg question?
Sometimes what I've done is made a decision in advance that there's something that I want to explore. For example, in a book called Deception on His Mind, what I wanted to explore was the Pakistani experience in Great Britain, and specifically arranged marriages. And that was the starting point for that novel. Then it becomes a question of, okay, if this is a crime novel, then what is the crime? What exactly is it? And who has the arranged marriage? And how does this all work? So sometimes that's how it begins, a specific situation that I want to explore. And sometimes previous novels have dictated what the next novel is going to be, such as With No One as Witness dictated the next novel, What Came Before He Shot Her, which was about the child growing up on the housing estate in West London, the mixed-race little boy. Usually, I'm pretty aware of what's going on in England because I spend time there and I read the newspapers when I'm there. And that allows me to see the kind of societal things or specific institutions that might be worthy of exploration and might give me a story.
And so in Banquet of Consequences, you're dealing in part with the feminist author as part of the societal change that you're focusing on?
It's not so much that that would be a societal change, because there have been great feminist writers in England since the advent of Germaine Greer bursting on the scene about the same time as Gloria Steinem here in the United States. So it wasn't necessarily that as a societal issue. In this particular book, I wouldn't say it's so much society that's being explored as, well, the whole idea of what Western civilizations, mythology, literature, film, and advertising and everything does to women and to their expectations of what life holds for them. Sort of a bigger issue than just British society. I think it applies across the board to all of Western civilization.
I understand that you have a foundation. Would you tell us a bit about that?
I established a foundation in, I think it was about 1999, and it's called the Elizabeth George Foundation. What it does is gives financial support in a number of different areas. The primary focus is for people involved in the creative art of writing. So it supports unpublished novelists. It supports poets at any time. It supports short story writers and emerging nonfiction writers and emerging playwrights and disadvantaged children in the area of the arts. What it does is that it give financial support to a writer for a year to allow them time to experience life as a writer if they haven't been published yet. It sends people through graduate school. It supports programs that are designed to give additional support to writers. For example, we're greatly involved with a group called Hedgebrook on Whidbey Island, where I live, and that's a women's writer's retreat. But we also are involved with South Coast Repertory Theater in Southern California, because they have a great program for emerging playwrights. It does things like that, and it's been going. I think we made our first grant in the year 2000 or 2001.
It's a wonderful giving back, and it's wonderful to talk to you. I'm already looking forward to the next Inspector Lindley book. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Elizabeth George about her latest Inspector Lindley novel, which is titled A Banquet of Consequences. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.